And look in
Psalm 95. Psalm 95 this evening will be our text. We've moved off of Psalm 94. I'm not sure that we finished it. We just quit, all right? We just had mercy on you. And looking forward to starting this new psalm. It's only 11 verses. I think I can get it all in a service, maybe, all right? If you listen fast, we'll preach fast. And see what the Lord will do for us. This is a wonderful psalm. Again, I've enjoyed studying this one and preparing it for you and trusting the Lord to help us this evening be stirred over again. Let's read all 11 verses beginning in verse 1, Psalm 95, verse 1. The Bible said, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now right here in the middle of this verse, there's a period, and we're going to go right into what you'll see tonight is a definite line of distinction and division in this psalm. And it goes from the psalmist speaking to now the Lord is going to be the one directly speaking. He says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And that's all 11 verses of Psalm 95. Let's pray one more time. And we'll ask the Lord to help us tonight as we study his word. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we one more time stand in this place, Lord, knowing the task that is at hand before us to take the Word of God and preach it. Lord, we know that in ourself, Lord, dwelleth no good thing, and Lord, there's no strength in us. Lord, all we have tonight is weakness. Lord, I pray this evening that, Lord, you'd take us beyond ourself, and Lord, as you called us to do something we can't do, would you enable us again to do it? Lord, I pray tonight as we've gathered in the house of the Lord, take the Word of God, this wonderful psalm tucked away, Lord, in the Scripture for our edification, our reproof, and Lord, for our instruction. Lord, I pray this evening that it would be help in life, our spiritual lives. Lord, I ask you this evening that you'd get all the glory, make Jesus big. May the Word of God prevail in every ear, and Lord, may every eye be set upon it. May every heart be touched and challenged and changed. Lord, as a result of the Word of God, give us things to ponder. Give us things, Lord, to stir our soul this evening. And all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll try to quickly get to the thought and work our way through this psalm, but as we consider the background of this psalm, I believe this evening we can accurately say, according to Hebrews 4 and in verse number 7, that this psalm is authored by David. And there's some men who are too smart for their own good that argue and say, well, David couldn't have wrote this and try to explain it away. But the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 4, 7, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who could not lie, that David is the one that penned this psalm. And so we trust that, amen, God knew who wrote it in the book of Hebrews and identified it as David in a certain place said today, and he begins to quote from the end of verse 7 and verse number 8 of Psalm 95. When you study Psalm 95, you'll find that it is believed this psalm was sung at the annual Feast of Tabernacles. In that time when Israel, according to the way that God had structured that time of worship and that those festivities and worship that would go on during that time, and Israel would look back on where God had brought them, they would look around on what the Lord had given them, and then ultimately it would end with them looking up in appreciation for God for those things that God had done for them. And what a psalm. As we've read it tonight, I think you find that it hits on several things that would excite the heart of the child of God. It's in this section of Psalms, and no doubt that has the same purpose in it, is Psalm 93 through 100. That is magnifying the lordship of our God. The fact that our God reigns, our God is in the heavens, our God is watching over everything. He is controlling everything for His own glory, and that we should praise Him for the lofty, elevated, holy position that He has over us and over His creation. When we look at this psalm, and as we've read it tonight, we noted as we read that it is easily divided into two main parts. And if you'll let me emphasize this for just a moment, I'll get to my thought, but you'll find verses 1 through 7 is the first section, and then the end of verse 7 through verse 11 is the second section. In section number 1, verses 1 through 7, we find the emphasis is on worship. We are to come before His presence with thanksgiving, joyful noise, singing, worship, bowing down, kneeling before Him. All of this being an indication of the worship of the life of the child of God. God then intervenes in David through David and begins to speak as though He directly is talking to the people of God, to you and I, and it moves from worship to that of warning. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart, and He begins to give an illustration that we'll see tonight that is very pertinent to our worship of the Lord. And so worship in part one, warning in part two. I think you'll see this. I noted it this way, that in the first part, we see an exhortation to gratitude. And that it is all about the Lord and who He is and what He has done for us and rendering to Him, again, the matter of thanksgiving, singing a song and psalms to Him. That are an response of gratitude in our heart, an exhortation to gratitude. But in verses 7 through 11, He gives examples of grumbling. And so it moves from gratitude into grumbling, and how Israel tempted and murmured and grumbled for 40 years, and how that is exemplified in contrast to what God is looking for from His saints. I think in verse number 1 through 7, we see the greatness of God. And He is magnified as a great God. Verse number 3, a great King, and is above all gods. He is the one that is our Maker. Verse 6, and who is our God in verse number 7. And so throughout the first part of this section, it is magnifying the greatness of God. And is our God not great tonight? He's great in power. He's great in grace. He's great in mercy. Amen. Great in love. He's great in purity and perfection, and great in every way is our God. And so we see in the first section the greatness of God. But in verses 7 through 11, we are brought in to see the weakness of man. How that man, after all that God has done, even through our grumbling, even through our lack of living by faith, when God comes through and blesses us anyway, how that man is always in a state of weakness. And we seem to, every time we walk in the flesh and walk by sight and walk by feelings and walk by emotion, to be a man, have revealed in us the weakness of man. And so we see definite contrast in this psalm. And there are some that have said, in fact, at the end there, this second section, verses 7 through 11, do not belong in this psalm. That it just accidentally got put in there. And understand this tonight. Amen. There are no accidental things dropped into the Word of God. Amen. It may seem like to the casual reader, it may seem like the one who knows not God and doesn't know how to talk to the one who put this in there as though it doesn't make sense. But I would submit to us tonight, it absolutely belongs. And there is a reason that there is such a great high and such a great low in the same psalm concerning, amen, our life of worship. And so we want to look at this tonight in this first section. The first section is David speaking to the people. But the Lord speaks directly to them in the second. I know it's all God's word, but amen, you do see that it goes from David saying, let us and we. And as the king, he's trying to engage the people to come together in unity and as a congregation to worship God. And then verses 7 through 11, the Lord says, let me tell you about what they did to me, and let me tell you what they did with my grace. And the Lord begins to speak. The Lord ends his psalm, I think, that dealing with what the psalm really is all about. And we'll compare what David said and how the Lord ends this. But in calling the generation today to consider what God's people did on yesterday's, amen, he says about them in verse 11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And so the Lord ends his psalm speaking of my rest. He's dealing with, they could have had my rest. They could have entered into my rest. They could have had something from me, but because they didn't come to me, because they fought against me, and because they didn't trust my word, and because they didn't follow my voice, and because they hardened their heart, they missed out on this matter of rest. And this word rest, it means everything that you can imagine it to mean. Amen. When we think about rest, we're living in a restless day. Amen. We're living in, we told on Sunday morning, the Sunday school hour, amen, just dealing prophetically with things that are going on in our day where Jesus said there'll be wars and commotions. And commotion speaks of instability, a lack of rest, a lack of being able to be quiet, just a stirring and a tumult all the time. And so this matter of rest, it means repose and consolation. Amen. The Lord said they could have had a consolation to their soul. They could have had a repose had they simply leaned on me. But they missed out on my rest. This word rest means a quiet and settled spot. Amen. They could have dwelt in quiet. And I understand that, amen, some folk, they've got to have hustle and bustle and noise playing all the time. Amen. The older I get, I've learned to appreciate the quiet and appreciate the times when, amen, there is no commotion. There's no war going on in your mind or outside or anywhere. Just, amen, being able to rest and enjoy quiet and a settled spot. This word rest, it can mean a place to dwell and settle down in. And ultimately, the Lord, when he's speaking of the rest here, he is speaking of that land of Canaan, that place that God was going to give them and the inheritance that he was going to settle them in, that land of promise. That was going to be their rest. That was going to be the place they could settle down in. They had been in bondage for so many hundreds of years, and they were going to make their way, their journey through a wilderness, that, my friend, they were going to be strangers and pilgrims and dwell in tents, as did their father Abraham and brother Larry. They never seemed to have a place to settle down until God, amen, came to them through Moses and said, I'm going to bring you out of this in Egypt so I can bring you into the land of Canaan, a place to rest, a place to settle down. Amen, a place that you can dwell and call your own. Amen. Notice that when God speaks of this in Psalm 95 verse 11, amen, he doesn't just call it rest, but he did not just say that they should not enter into rest, but he said they shall not enter into my rest. Amen, my rest. And so I would say this goes beyond just a physical land. Amen, it entails the land of Canaan, but even in Canaan, they're going to have war. There's enemies there that they're going to have to, amen, encounter, but God said they should not enter into my rest. And so this matter of repose and matter of consolation, this matter of quiet and a settled spot, amen, this matter of the place that you dwell where everything just settles down. Amen. What I think the Lord is saying is that it is my rest, and it can only be found in me. Amen. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it anywhere else except in the Lord. Amen. You can't buy this down on the shelf at the Walmart. Amen. They don't got dollar deals down at the Dollar General. Amen. Buy 10, get 10 free of rest and settling down your soul, your spiritual being. Amen, for what you need to make it in this world. God says, amen, you can't find it, you can't buy it, you won't stumble upon it. Amen, they could have had it, but they should not have it. Amen, they should not enter into my rest. And you say, preacher, that is Old Testament. And may I say that, amen, when we come to the New Testament in Hebrews 3 and in Hebrews 4, and the Apostle Paul said that, amen, they missed out on that rest. They didn't enter into that rest. But he said, I'll tell you what the blessing is and promise is from God. Amen. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the children of God. Amen. This is not just something for Old Testament Israel. Amen. In fact, it wasn't even about the land. It wasn't about, amen, their religious system of worship. Amen. That we can have what they missed out on. There remaineth, amen, a rest even in this day. And I'm glad there's a rest. I'm glad there's a place. Amen. In the Lord, there's a source in God. Amen. Whereby we can be settled down. And you say, preacher, where is that rest? Where is that rest? Is that rest in the pews in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle? Amen. Not necessarily. Amen. Notice with me, amen, that David, I think, hits on the same thing that God says this is what this is all about. He speaks of entering God's presence, which is where this rest is truly found. He begins his psalm, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Amen. He said in verse number 2, very, very plainly, let us come before his presence. And sister, when I began to kind of work my way through this psalm and unpackage it, amen, in order to make it make sense for us, amen, I believe that when God said, and they didn't enter into rest, but there is a rest. Amen. He's saying, my rest will only be found if you follow, amen, what David is challenging you to do and enter into my presence. Amen. No child of God will find repose outside of the presence of their God. Amen. Only there will we be able to be settled down. And I'm not trying to be mean tonight. Amen. In fact, I even put myself, amen, on the level playing field this evening. But God's children are so unsettled in these days. Amen. We seem to be all over the place, and our soul seems to be so disturbed, and we seem so weary in our thoughts, and we seem so wore out. Amen. All the time, I find myself. Amen. I told somebody even recently, as I was dealing with them about a certain situation, I looked at them. I said, "You know what? I'm just tired. I'm tired. Amen. Physically, and I'm tired about so many things." And, amen. Would you know the Lord had Psalm 95 right lined up, right on tight. Amen. To pop me upside my head. and say, are you going to enter into my rest? Are you not going to enter into my rest? Amen. You don't work for it. You don't labor for it. Amen. You don't even have to fight for it. The Bible said, amen, that they should not enter into my rest. It's something, amen, that we can enter into. How do you enter into it? Amen. Where is the soul settled down in? Amen. Where do we find a settling down and a quiet over all the noise that is going on in our day? Amen. Well, David said, let us come, amen, before his presence. And so if the Lord help me, I'll make my way quick as I can through these 11 verses. Amen. With this thought in mind, settling down in the presence of God. Amen. That's where we're settled. That's where fears are settled. Amen. That's where grievances are settled. Amen. That's where hurts and pains find, amen, find a repose and a consolation. And the balm and medicine from Gilead for our soul, amen, is found in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's amazing how the Word of God emphasizes the presence of God. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. I believe in His presence there is healing for the soul. Amen. In His presence there is salvation for sinners. Amen. In His presence over and over and over. Amen. We can find there are things there you'll never find anywhere else. Amen. And God wants us to enter His rest. Amen. But only in His presence will we find it. Amen. Settling down in the presence of God. Amen. Notice with me, number one, in verses 1-5, I see the invitation to the presence of God. The invitation to the presence of God. This psalm begins and emphasizes throughout. Amen. Listen to how this psalm begins. Oh, come. Amen. David is saying, I'm on my way. Y'all come with me. I'm going to meet with my God. I'm going to enter into His presence. I'm going to be with Him where He is. In fact, amen, His rest for my every day. Amen. May we say this evening, this is the child of God's invitation into God's presence. I'm glad we don't have a God that says that's far enough. Amen. I'm glad, Brother A.L., we don't have a God that says now, amen, as is in the Old Testament, we're not come to Mount Sinai, amen, where the border was put up and said that's far enough, you can't come any closer than that. Oh no, we have entered into that dispensation of tithe. And Brother Larry says we can come boldly before the throne of grace and we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. There is a divine sovereign invitation. Amen. That God, the very God of glory, has invited us. Amen. Those that have gone before us say, come with me. Amen. Follow me. His presence will do you well. His presence will help settle your fear. Amen. David knew what it was to run to His presence. Amen. David had learned what it was to find a settling down of his soul. For it was this David in matters and times of frustration. Amen. That would speak to himself and say, soul, amen, why art thou disquieted within me? Amen. And we've studied those psalms where David was in such a tumultuous time and a hardship. Amen. That was grieving his soul. Amen. But even in those times, he didn't stay there long. Amen. Because he'd enter in the presence of the Lord and obtain, amen, what God said was my rest. And now David said, bring all your fears and bring all your cares and bring all your troubles and bring all that's got you bogged down. Amen. And come with me and let's enter into the presence of God. Amen. These opening verses challenge us. Amen. Not to come. They challenge us on how we're to come. Amen. Let me give you this. Oh boy, it ain't looking good. Amen. To get all this in a service. But amen. Notice with me, I think we can learn from this psalm that we're to come earnestly. Amen. To come earnestly. When David said, amen, he begun this psalm with, amen, that phrase, oh, come. Amen, that is come now. Amen, do not wait and do not tarry. Who say, but preacher, I'm too tired to come. Well, you need to come now. Amen, you're never going to enter His rest until you get earnest about the invitation. Amen, and we ought to come earnestly. Amen, we ought to bring all that we have and all that we are. Who say, but preacher, He's such a great God and we're such weak human beings. Amen. He understands that. Amen. And yet He wants us all the more reason then. Amen. To come earnestly. Amen. To realize that we are destroying ourselves. Amen. Our old hard heart. Amen. Our old tough soul. Amen. Will wear us out, somebody. Amen. Ought to get earnest about the invitation. Amen. And come earnestly. Amen. David says, come joyfully. Amen. Don't come milling, mousing around. Amen. Don't come into His presence dragging your tracks out. Amen. Come with a song. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't feel like singing. Sing anyway. Amen. David said, if you're going to come, He deserves a song. Amen. If all you got is an old song, that if, amen, the 150 God give you in the Word of God, amen, just rip one of them out and sing from your soul. Amen. Because we are to come joyfully. Amen. Come joyfully. Make a joyful noise, David said in verse number 1, and then said it again in verse number 2. Amen. Come joyfully. Amen. Don't come. Listen, if you're going to get help and settle down the presence of God, you can't. Amen. Enter into His presence chewing on sawbriars. Amen. Drinking old sour milkshakes for your soul. Amen. Oh, you're going to have to, amen, sing joyfully. Amen. Come earnestly. Come joyfully. Come reverently, David says. Amen. He reminded us in verse number 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. Amen. Come reverently. Amen. You ain't coming to Buddha. You ain't coming to Baal or Allah. You're not coming to some God that's been invented in the wildest, wicked imagination of a man's heart. Amen. You're not coming before an image made of stump or stone. Amen. Come reverently. He is alive and He is real and He is personal. Amen. And He is Lord and He is God. Amen. Come reverently. Amen. But where I want to settle in, this be all the further I make it. Amen. Amen. He says, come, and He's telling us how to come. Amen. Come earnestly and joyfully and reverently. Amen. But I think in verses 1 through 5, amen, He's saying, come mindfully. Amen. Understand who your God is. Amen. As you come, have your mind set upon Him. Amen. Can I tell us all this evening? Amen. The reason we don't respond to the invitation and our soul stays troubled. Amen. And soul stays cast out. Amen. The reason we don't enter into His rest. Amen. But through His presence. Amen. Is that we don't get our mind upon Him and who He is. Amen. I believe if we would be more mindful of God, we would enjoy it. Amen. The rest that is found in His presence. Amen. Most of us give more attention to our foes and our enemies, our troubles and our bumps and bruises and pains, and all the betrayals and all the letdowns. Amen. All the things that have gone on around us more, Brother Riley, than we do. Amen. The God that says, I'll help you with. Amen. In spite of all that you've been through. Amen. Come mindfully. David is challenging them. Amen. To get their thoughts off what they've been through and get their thoughts on the God of glory. When you and I do that and realize that that is the God that has invited us to come. Amen. I believe then we'll get earnest, joyful, and reverent. Amen. And enter into the rest that He has provided. Amen. You say, preacher, how aren't we to be mindful then in this invitation? Amen. Well, consider this. Be mindful of the God who redeems. Amen. The God who redeems. Look at it now in verse number 1. He said, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Amen. What a statement David has just made. He's saying, I tell you what you ought to remember. Amen. Remember back and get your mind back. Amen. Them days of your sinful life when everything around you was muck and it was mire and it was a horrible pit that you lived in. How then you cried and you wept and you was drowning in your terrible condition. Amen. But remember, God heard you cry and was inclined to come to where you were. Amen. And brought you up out of the horrible pit. Amen. And now He has become your rock of salvation. Amen. He's established our going, David said. Amen. Put us on a rock. And thank God our life has been made the better. Amen. By the grace of His salvation. Amen. David is saying, be mindful of the God who redeems. Amen. You have a rock of salvation. Amen. The rock of our salvation. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Amen. It means this, that, amen, Jesus is the unchangeable foundation and faithful author of it. Amen. I'm glad I've been saved tonight. Amen. But I am focused. I'm trying to be mindful. Amen. As I make my way in the presence of the Lord and enter into His rest, my mind must be settled upon of the God who redeems. Amen. I don't know that we think on that as much as we ought to. Amen. When we get feeling sorry for ourselves. Amen. When we're walking around in a wilderness land. Amen. God said, I got all the rest you'll ever need. Amen. And all we can do, my friend, is nurse our wounds. I'm not believing our circumstances tonight. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you, there's a God bigger than all of that. Amen. That's invited us to come. Amen. And you're not going to come if you don't keep your mind, amen, focused on the fact, amen, that He came to you one day, amen, and He didn't leave you where He found you. He didn't leave you in that shape. He didn't leave you drowning. He didn't leave you going under. He lifted you up. He's taken you up. And thank God everything looks up since that day we got saved. We say it, preachers say it all the time, and amen, it ought to be said the more in these days, amen, than whatever we're going through, however bad it is tonight, amen, our worst days, a child of God, still far better, amen, than our best day as a sinner on the road to hell. Amen. I ain't in the muck and the mire anymore. Amen. I'm on the rock of my salvation. Amen. And my mind must be fixed on Him. Amen. Who alone redeems.
Amen.
Amen. If you're going to come to the invitation, amen, and be settled down, if we're going to be, amen, if we're settling down in the presence of God, amen, the invitation rings out tonight. Amen. But folk don't come because they're not mindful of the God who redeems. Amen. I'll see if we can handle another. Amen. He's not only the God who redeems, but amen, He is the God who refreshes. Look with me in verse number 2. I got my first one at my last point. Amen. Pretty easy. I kept just squeezing in on verse number 2. And here's how the Lord give it to me now. Here's what David said. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Amen. Those who know the God who redeems, they are to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Well, what is thanksgiving? Amen. Thanksgiving is rendering to God, appreciation to God, for the things that He has done along the way of our life. Amen. 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 And He said, in connection to that, he said, make a joyful noise unto Him. Now, did He not say that in verse number 1? He said, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And so he's saying, let us make a joyful noise to him. But notice the last two words in verse number 2, with psalms. So we have thanksgiving, rendering appreciation to God for what he's done. Amen. And involved in that, Brother Gerald, is a joyful noise, a jubilant time and exultation to God. And he said, you do that with psalms. What are the psalms? Somebody says, well, that's Hebrew poetry, or that's the Jewish hymn book. But it's more than that. The psalms is the word of God. The psalms, Brother Charlie, is the word of God. What he is saying is, you got to get mindful of the word of God. You're going through hard times. Guess what? Almost every one of the psalms has somebody that was going through the hard times. And God is put and tucked away in the word of God who reminds you God is enough. And God is sufficient. And God met their need. And God refreshes his children in the worst of times. And when you feel like you're dying, when you feel like you can't go on, amen, oh, we have a God who refreshes. Amen. David said, if you'll look around, if you'll just look around, there's something you can thank him for. Amen. The facts are still here. You may be hurting. Amen. You may be weary. You may feel wore out. The fact that you're still here, Brother Larry, amen, proves you've got something to thank God for. Amen. It is God that has sustained us. It is God who refreshes us. And David said, get your mind on the God of the Bible, the God that has done it for so many others, and the God that, if you look around, has done it for you. Realize he is the God who refreshes. I'm glad I serve him tonight. I'm glad that I know him. I'm glad I'm mindful of him tonight. Amen. He is the God who redeems, the God who refreshes. In verses 3, 4, and 5, he is the God who reigns. Amen. He is the God who reigns. David, amen, waste no time, and immediately in verse number 3 says, amen, I tell you why you ought to come. I tell you why you ought to respond to the invitation to his presence. Amen, is because for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Amen. And so he immediately is reminding us, Brother Mike, amen, that this is our God. And we come into his presence by right of divine invitation, earnestly, joyfully, reverently, amen, but mindfully that he is the one that reigns.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's in control. He is, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Amen. In verse number 3, we find, amen, that he reigns over all other gods. Amen. He reigns tonight over all other gods. Amen. It doesn't matter how powerful that God may or may not be. Amen. It matters not what attributes men have given to those gods. Our God is greater still. Amen. Our God is mightier still. Amen. They do not in any way jeopardize or threaten the God that we serve. Our God reigns over all other gods. Amen. In verse number 4, we find that he reigns from the lowest depths to the highest hills. Amen. Listen to what David said again. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. And so it don't matter. It matters not how low you may be. His lordship extends to the deepest depths. Amen. It matters not how high the mountain is that you're climbing. Amen. He owns the hills. Amen. He owns the hills. My granddaddy used to, amen, take that verse in the Psalms. It says, amen, the Lord, rules, or the Lord owns all the hills. Amen. Granddad, you say he owns the hills. Amen. He owns the cattle on the hills, and he owns the taters under the hills. Amen. He owns everything that's on them hills. And may I say tonight, our God reigns tonight. Amen. From the lowest depths to the highest heights. Amen. You'll find that his kingdom has no end. He reigns in verse number 5 over the land and the sea and all things that are therein. Amen. If you're on the sea tonight in a storm, amen, the Lord reigns over that. Amen. If you're, my friend, sailing or on a stormy sea tonight, he's in charge. Amen. If you're in a dry and barren and desert land, amen, oh, I'm glad that he reigns there. Amen. Everything you face on land or on sea, amen, in this journey with the Lord, he in fact reigns.
Amen.
And the fact that he reigns, so too, as we become mindful of that, it ought to propel us to say, somebody like him would invite somebody like me to come. I can enter into his presence and there enter into his rest. Oh, it ought to drive us. Amen. The fact that the Lord reigns. You say, preacher, it doesn't look like he does. Can I tell you tonight, it don't matter what it looks like.
Amen.
Amen. I'm reading a book right now on crucifixion and how the believer oftentimes goes through crucifixion. And this particular writer made a statement the other day, Brother Jack, that it struck me to my very core, using the crucifixion of Christ. He was talking about that and making parallel to our own life. And the point that he was driving home is that God the Father orchestrated his Son to be crucified.
That's right.
We think God only reigns when everything is going well. But God was reigning on the, I know it was the most blessed and wonderful day of human history, but it's also the darkest day of human history, the day that God the Father in his Lordship reigned and orchestrated the brutality and the suffering and the death of his own Son. And this particular author, Brother Jack, he said, until you acknowledge that God has brought suffering into your life, you have not been crucified. You're just living with your hurt.
Amen.
The psalmist is saying the same thing in this psalm. He is saying you must understand he reigns. Whatever we go through, he has orchestrated it, or he has allowed it to happen. Amen. There's nobody that operates in any way outside of his jurisdiction. Hey, amen. He is not a God that, amen, that is like any other. He's not a God that, amen, promotes iniquity or wickedness. My friend, even wicked men are under the ruleship and the lordship, amen, of our God. And no matter what happens, and no matter what comes our way, amen, don't let your heart get hardened that you miss out on the rest and the settling down that only can come from the presence of God. Get your mind, your thoughts off of what's been done and get it on God. God allowed it to happen.
Amen.
That's hard to swallow, ain't it? I know it is.
Right.
Amen. Why do I know that? Because he reigns. He is, our Lord is a great God and a great King.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen. So there's the invitation in the presence of God. Notice number 2, I won't preach it, but there's adoration for the presence of God. As we come, David said, we are to worship. Amen. This is not just a mere emotional experience. This is not to be used as a quick fix to get us over what we've been through. Oh no, it's far deeper than that. It is to give the Lord what is due to him. Amen. So you'll see an adoration. I'll deal with that next week. Amen. Then there's an examination in the presence of God, verses 7 through 11. As the Lord, as we enter into His presence, David says, come as they come and as they enter in. The Lord says, okay, I'm glad you come and I'm glad you're worshiping me. Now let me call you to examine yourself while you're in my presence. Because when you examine yourself outside of His presence, you'll justify everything about you. But if you examine yourself in His presence, God will make you be honest. God will call out the things, amen, that ought not be there. God will call out the things in us that are wrong. God will call out the hidden things that are in the heart. In His presence, Brother Charlie, God makes us examine ourselves. And we'll study that. Amen. Because without being willing to be examined, you will not find a settling down in the presence of God. Amen. Amen.